Okay, so we're going to talk about today. I'm sort of giving away the topic a little bit. I want to, it's about the Mitzvah and Yom Kippur, because there is something very uniquely similar between the Mitzvah and Yom Kippur. Anyone know what that is? The connection between the Mitzvah and Yom Kippur? Anyone know like how the Mitzvah, in a very not before we get into like maybe hashkafically, but very textually, what's anyone know of a parallel between the Mitzvah and Yom Kippur, or the purification of the Mitzvah and Yom Kippur?
Birds to goats.
Two birds, two goats, right? Right. So if you look in the beginning of the parsha, so Perek Yud Dalet, Vayidbar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Zos Tiyeh Torah Samitzorah, this should be the law of the Mitzorah. B'yom Taraso, on the day of his purification, V'huval HaKohen, he's brought to the Kohen. V'yatzah HaKohen HaMechutz HaMachaneh, and the Kohen will go out to, he'll go to the outside of the camp, V'ra HaKohen V'nei Nirpa HaNegat Saras Minitzorua. And he sees that, lo and behold, he is no longer a Mitzorah, he is healed. And now they have to perform a ritual. And the Kohen will take two live Tahor birds, and a hyssop branch and a thread, crimson thread, and I'm sorry, cedar wood, crimson thread, and this hyssop. Okay, so the truth is, it probably would be an interesting shiur to discuss all the different ingredients and the symbolism where we find all the other, where we find the Eitz Eretz, Shnit Talas, Vezo, but I'm interested in the two birds. And two birds on the Mitzorah, two birds for, two goats for Yom Kippur. But, and just to continue the parallel, in Pasuk Hey, Vitziva HaKohen, the Kohen shechts, slaughters one bird, and then he does a whole. Then the Pasuk Vav says, right, and then he says that he does Esatzipora Chaya Yikach. You can take the live bird, Vesa Eitz, Erez, Shnit Tlat, Vezov, Vetavosam. You dip, you immerse them all. Ves ha-tzipor ha-chaya bedam ha-tzipor ha-shchuta al-mayim chayim. So you dip the bird and you dip all these ingredients in the blood of the shechted bird over this water, the spring water. And then Pasuk Zayin, v'hiza al-mitaher mitzara sheva pamim. You sprinkle all these things. You sprinkle on the one who's been purified seven times. V'tiro, he's been purified. V'shilach es ha-tzipor ha-chaya al-pnei ha-sada. So we have one bird that is shechted, and the blood is used for ritual, and the second bird is sent away to, is just sent away. And
What is the comparison?
what?
It's like the Azazel.
What? Yes.
It's
Yes.
like the Azazel.
Correct, correct. And just, and this is not, and Chazal very much pick up on this connection between the two birds, the two goats, one is slaughtered, one then sent away. Because look how the Mishnah, we're going now to Torah Shebaal Peh here. Look how the Mishnah describes the two birds. Shtei tziparim mitzvah sam sheyuhu shavos b'mer v'komar v'damim ulekichasam kachas. The mitzvah, there's the ideally, the you should have the two birds should be equal in appearance and in height, and the same value. You should buy them together. Okay, aval pishen shavos ksheros. If they're not, even if they're not perfectly, if they don't have to be the same, they're still kosher. Lokach echad yom ve'echad lemachar ksheros. If you buy one today, buy one tomorrow, it's still kosher. But ideally, they should be exactly the same. And you find the exact language in Maseches Yoma with the two goats. Shnei seirei yom kippurim mitzvah san sheyu shneim shavim. The mitzvah is that both of them will be equal. Exactly the same. In appearance, in height, and in the value, and they should be taken together. And even if they are not equal, they're kosher. You take one, buy one today, one tomorrow, it's kosher. So it's very clear. It's very clear that by the time you get to the Ramban, and the Ramban tells us in Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Dalad, V'im Kain Yiyya Hatam Kisod Hasir Mishtalech, that he's saying that the reason for all this, the reason for the two birds in the Mitzora case, is that it's like the Sar Mishtalech, it's like the goat who is sent away. V'sham Yishtalech La'azazel Hamidbara V'kan L'Parchos Hasadeh. Right, by in Yom Kippur, he's sent to Azazel, to the desert, and here they're sent to they fly away to the field. So it's clear from the Psukim, you start a little bit of evidence in the Psukim, the Torah Shabbat is pretty clear about it in terms of the requirements of the how similar the birds have to be, how similar do the goats have to be, the same language. And the Ramban tells you explicitly what you would have thought if with all this evidence here. Now, the question, though, is, so very often if you compare two different institutions, right? In other words, the Torah is comparing the two birds to the two goats. The repentance of Yom Kippur or the purification of Yom Kippur to the repentance / purification of the Mitzorah. So you could always ask, in which direction are we making the comparison? In other words, are we comparing the Mitzorah to Yom Kippur, or we're comparing Yom Kippur to the Mitzorah, right? In other words, once we've established that this textual, parallelism points to a connection, and that they're similar, so we have to ask, in which direction are they similar? It could be both. In other words, I might say that the Torah is trying to tell us very clearly that the plight of the Mitzorah is like the plight of the Bnei Yisrael on Yom Kippur. That the Mitzorah distances himself from society, like how we distance ourselves from God throughout the year, and therefore the purification process is similar. In other words, maybe, well, again, on one level, before I get there, on one level, maybe we can simply say that's very clear here, that even though we know that you get punished for tzaras based on lashon hara, so it's always a question when you're tamei, is it due to something that you did wrong or not? So Chazal clearly tell us that it's because people did something wrong. There are stories in Tanakh where people did something wrong, they got tzaras, and maybe also again here the fact that the purification process for the mitzvah is similar to the purification process of Kippur, again points to the fact that tzaras is not simply you just get it for no reason, but if the purification process is like that one in Yom Kippur, so you get it because there was a sin, just like Yom Kippur, we try to purify from our sins.
But it seems to me that we have a yachid and a radim. You have a case of tzaras, and you have Yom Kippur for all of Klal Yisrael. So I would say that they're comparing tzaras, Torah's comparing tzaras to Yom Kippur, not the other way around.
Right, so you're saying tzaras is like Yom Kippur, right? So that the process, right? You're saying right? In other words, it's trying to tell us that's what I would have thought intuitively, that it's trying to tell us that when we're going through the process, it's not simply healing someone from their sickness, but it is due to sin, and you need to purify yourself. Again, we're so ingrained with the notion that obviously Mitzorah did something wrong, but this might be another piece of evidence. But I want to try to argue maybe the reverse is also true. I would like to argue that I think intuitively, Judah, the first step that I would go with is to say that you're right, that the Mitzorah is modeled after Yom Kippur, but maybe there are certain things about the Mitzorah that help us understand the purification process in Yom Kippur as well. In other words, maybe we look at ourselves throughout the year, and if we need to purify ourselves from Yom Kippur, sorry, like I mentioned before, so maybe we have to understand that maybe we were like the Mitzorah, maybe we distance ourselves. We don't think about it all the time. We may think that Yom Kippur is just simply, okay, you go to the synagogue, or you do the ritual, and you're good. Maybe we don't realize that how far we may have distanced ourselves in Yom Kippur, that we need to purify ourselves. So maybe the fact that we're comparing to the Mitzorah tells us that, but maybe it's also telling us something else. In other words, maybe, And maybe also we could say that the purification from sin is similar, to how the Mitzorah is purified. What do I mean by that? That I think that there are two central features of how the Mitzorah should behave before he actually goes through the ritual process. And that is, we saw this last week, that his Begadav in Perek Yigimel Pasuk Mem Hei, that Begadav Yu Prumim, his garments are ripped, and Veroshia Parua, his hair is wild, Al Safa Biateh, he's covering his lips, V'tamei Tamei Yikra, he's saying Tamei Tamei. So that if someone's walking around like this, with his hair wild, his garments ripped, crying Tamei Tamei, so what emotion or what feeling does that person experience? What would you say?
Regret,
okay. Right, he clearly is feeling, okay. The fact that he looks like this and he's calling this out, so he's expressing regret. I think there's something else that he's. What else? If you walk around like that,
shame.
Right. You walk around the streets with wild hair, ripped garments, crying tabe. You're experiencing shame. And Pasuk Mem Vav is what? Whatever, all the days that he has a plague, he is Tabei. Badad Yeshe Mechutz Machane Moshavo. So what's the second stage here? What's the key to the Mitzorah? Not just shame, but what?
Is to be secluded.
Right, isolation. Right, isolation. Right. In other words, there are two elements before we do the ritual. Right, before we do the ritual, this week's parsha, part of his purification process before he heals is both isolation and shame. The classic explanation of why he has to be isolated, we spoke about this in depth last week, so I just brought you two of the sources. Some of you are familiar with it. It's a good review. The Das Kedem Ibal Tosu says, Badad Yeshev. Why? Because it's contagious. Rashi says, "Badad Yeshev, why is he alone?" Because who hivdil b'lashon hara ben ish l'ishto, he brought about separation between people, husband and wife, ben ish l'rehu, man and his fellow Jew, afu yibadel, so he should also separate. So these two explanations focus on, in a sense, either a physical ailment or punishment for sin, but as some of us are aware, badad yeshev, is not only about punishment. Badad is not always said about a negative sense. In when Bilam looks at, we'll get there. All right, that's Bilam. Right, I'm levadad yishkol. Bilam praises the Bnei Israel. Says they are a nation that's alone. And not only are the Bnei Israel alone, God Himself in Devarim Lamed Beis, Hashem Badad Yanchenu. Rashbam says, Hashem Badad, Hashem alone. Hu levado hotzim Mitzrayim, v'holi chotam l'eretz Yisrael. God alone took Bnei Israel out of Egypt. So aloneness is not always so bad. Devarim Lamed Gimel, v'yishkon Yisrael betach Badad. So Klai Yisrael dwell, again, secure, alone. And the Midrash Tadaim points out, Badad, lo kibadad, and here, lo kibadad shamar Bilam, heim am levadad yishkov, lo kibadad shamar Yirmiya, eicha yeshva badad, el kibadad shomer Moshe, shamar Moshe, Hashem badad yinchenu. So there's good badads. There's like bad, negative badads, you know, alone sadness, and there's alone in a positive sense. Alone solitude is not always a bad thing. And maybe another way of understanding the badad in the concept of tshuva is sometimes you need solitude to reflect. You need sometimes to stop and really understand what I did, why I may have been wrong. So badad is is a very important element for tshuva. I think it's an element for reflection. I mean, that's how I understand tefillah. You know, tefillah is an opportunity where we just stop and reflect. We are badad. So it could be when we daven in a minyan, we're badad with a whole bunch of other people who are badad, but we're alone in our thoughts, a time of reflection. So you can look at the Metzora, and he is engaged in reflection, and maybe that's sort of teaching us, if we want to prepare for Yom Kippur, for the tshuva of Yom Kippur, we also need to engage in bidud, in solitude, in reflection. And as well, the fact that the Mitzora has to behave in a way or dress in a way that is shameful, that may also impact how we see ourselves in terms of our tshuva. So this is from last week's parsha. But Ibn Ezra says, "Begadav yu prumim kamo kruim." The garment should be ripped. Lakiro lalachas beminhag mishuna. It should be a little bit different. Old tamokinan avel. You should be like a mourner, right? And what's the reason? So Ibn Ezra says, "Sheitabel aro masav." The purpose of having the ripped garments is you should be a little bit. So there is a mourning element that you should mourn over your evil deeds. So that's why you have to look like a mourner. That's why you have to be a little. So you have. It's also an element of tshuva. And Rav Hirsch, what he says is priyah shel betzora mevatet et hapechasas erech adam mibchina ishiuto apratit. He says that the ripped. The wild hair of the metzora expresses the lack of value of the person on a personal level. V'ilu prima mevatas hapechasa mibchina chevratit. And you rip garments, what you wear, that expresses your loyalness from a social standing. There's how your body is, your hair is. That's your value, how you the perception, the way you give off yourself on a personal level. Your clothing reflects more of a social standard. This is what people do when relatives are about to die. They express the feeling of loss. The death is surrounding a relative of the deceased. Right? So, ki habeis haya lo b'chidat she'er, hu ishli b'otom b'chidat elashit v'ezrachit. The one who died, in a sense, he was a relative. He completed, or you say the word she'er, from the word sha'ar, the other, the remaining. He completes the person, right? If someone loses a relative, so that relative completed the person. So now you feel lost. You feel that you're missing something. You feel that we lost something when I lose a relative. That part of me is missing, part of my value is missing when I lose a relative. And we want to express this feeling of loss through the clothing, through the hair. So again, you could argue that this outward expression of peculiarity or mourning, you could say it's degrading from a personal perspective, degrading from a social perspective, typically done around the time of death of a relative as an expression of mourning. So it's true that there's an element of death surrounding it. But I would argue also, besides that, maybe there's also an element of shame as well. And I think it's no coincidence that when someone's trying to do tshuva, we find in our halachic literature, in at least not the Torah Shebiksav, in the Torah Shebaal Peh, there is a discussion about feeling ashamed. So the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayim and Aleph, tells us that Rava Basar Tzlu Se Abrahachi. So the Gemara tells us there are a whole bunch of Amorai, where they finish the blessings of Shemoneh Esrei, they would have their own ending. We picked one ending, the Elokein and Sor L'Shinim Era, was one specific ending that one specific Amora said at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. So this was another one, by the way, that Rava said. And he said, after Sulseth, he prayed to God, he said, Elokai, Ashen Otsati, Eni Kadai, Vachshav, Shen Otsati, Kilo Natsarti, before I was created as if I was nothing, and now that I was created as if I was not created. Afar Ni Bechayai, I'm the dust in my life, Kavachom, and Bisatsi, so too, in my death, Harein Ni Lefanecha, Kichli, Malei Bushachlima, I am a vessel that's full of shame. Here itself, Fanecha, Shem Elokai, Shelach Tod, I promise I'm not going to sin anymore. But that which I sinned before you, hopefully, should be cleansed through your mercy, but not through suffering. And this is the vidur of Rav Hamnuna on Yom Kippur. This is what we say, right? This is what we say in Yom Kippur. The Elokai Achilon Sadei Kadai. Rav said it after every davening. But the point is that when he is expressing remorse, it's more than simply regret. It's busha uchlima, it's shame, it's embarrassment. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perak Aleph Alecha Aleph writes that kol mitzvah sheba Torah bein asei bein lo taseh, any mitzvah that you violate, imorecha mehem bein bezadam bein mishkaga, if you commit a sin, whether intentional or unintentional, kishe yase tshuva, when you repent, v'yashu mecheto, Chayev lisvados lichtayakel baruch hu shenemar isha isha ki yasu v'isvados chatasav esherasu zovido idvar. So the Torah talks about confession of your sins. Vido izah mitzvah. I say it's a positive mitzvah. Ketzad misvadim. How do you confess? Omer, you say Ano Hashem, please God, chatasi avisi pashati lefadecha, I committed a sin, v'asisi kach v'kach, and I did this and this, v'reini chamti, and I regret, uboshti. And I'm embarrassed. I'm full of shame of my deeds. I'm never going to return to this. This is the essence of vidoy. So I was wondering, where do we get this idea that tshuva involves shame? I mean, you could argue it's logical. Maybe it's that's what it has to be. But who said that's an integral component of shame? Where in Tanakh do we find the idea that when you're engaged in remorse, the Torah only speaks about confession, vizvadu. You know, you bring a sin offering, and you confess your sins. Where do we find this element, this idea of busha, of shame? So maybe, if indeed what I'm suggesting is correct, well, what's clearly correct is that you have this parallelism between the mitzora purification ritual and the Yom Kippur purification ritual. And like Judah said, yeah, maybe it simply comes to teach us that the Mitzorah has to purify himself the way the Klai Yisrael purifies himself in Yom Kippur. But maybe I would argue that maybe it works in two directions. And maybe there are things that we learn about our purification from the story of the Mitzorah. And maybe we learn that, number one, that just like Tanakh talks about, just like in the Chumash we talk about, the Mitzorah has to be in solitude to really effectuate tshuva. Because you really need to sit and reflect. And real reflection requires solitude. So too, if you want real tshuva, so you come to Yom Kippur and you really feel the power of the tshuva, you're really a changed person, you need solitude, just like the mitzvah. And secondly, you need to feel shame. It can't simply be, God, right, I made a mistake. You know, I missed the mark, I did something wrong, and now I'm going to move on. Maybe comparing the story of the Mitzorah to the story of Yom Kippur tells us that if you really want to achieve purification, so learn from the Mitzorah. And it doesn't mean you have to wear ripped clothing when you commit a sin, but it means that you turn to God and you say, Harei nichamti uboshti. It means you say to God, Harei ani lefanecha kichli malei busha chliba. That the tshuva contains with it an element of shame, and we specifically learned that from the Mitzorah. And so therefore, you know, people say, oh, well, what relevance does the Mitzorah have nowadays? It doesn't, Hashem doesn't do this nowadays. But the lessons of the Mitzorah perhaps help us in understanding how we can work our own tshuva to make it more and more effective.
Okay. Mark.
Yeah.
What you're saying is also